Welcome to After Hours, conversations for music educators, presented by Amro Music. This is where we share ideas and work towards solutions to better serve your students. I'm Joel Hurd, one of the producers here on the podcast, and this week we'll be listening to a conversation I had with composer and educator Brady Massey, who spent more than 20 years as a band director in three different school districts in Arkansas, and is currently director of bands at Williams Baptist University in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. We met up with Brady just after he'd given a talk at Amro University, which is a two-day event in Memphis for college students and new band directors. Our conversation was recorded April 8th, 2022. So Brady, you just concluded a talk here at Amro University. We're in downtown Memphis for this two-day event. You just concluded a talk called Starting the Year on Your Left Foot. And I know that there were several times in this talk, and I even saw on a video that you did for NAMM, where you referred to back when I knew everything. When did you realize you didn't know everything? Was it within the first year?
It was not in the first year. I'm not sure it was in the first 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that people were telling me on judges' evaluations that the band wasn't wonderful and what I was thinking wasn't the way to do things. And I don't know, it's probably by the time I left my first job and got to the second one when I had realized, you know, people really do know what they're talking about. And the thing is, I had incredible mentors. I had a team of older directors from Arkansas that, and LaDonna was one of them, and they were straight shooting and said, you're an idiot if you do it that way. And of course, I would do it that way anyway, and then call them and say, well, you were right. How about that?
Now, so you taught, was your first school Truman,
Truman,
Arkansas?
Truman, Arkansas, yeah.
And then you went to Pocahontas for 20 years, I believe, right?
I did. There was a year in between that I went to Hoxie, Arkansas. I wasn't going to teach, and then a job came open right there by where I was living, and they had no program to speak of. Right. And so it was a lot of fun. But then the opportunity came to go to work with Howard Dunn at Pocahontas, and I jumped at it.
Yeah, great program there. So when you started out in Truman, what was the situation there like? Was it already an established program? Was it one that hadn't seen much success and needed some work? Where did it fall in the range of successful programs?
Looking back on it, it was probably a bad call to take that job.
Really?
I was the sixth director in 5 years. There was no continuity of any kind. The directors previous to me, I'm not, you know, saying that they didn't know what they were doing, but made some very questionable choices. The percussion section, for example, had set up an apartment in the back of the band room, and the band director wasn't allowed to go back there. And that was the way things went. Well, we got rid of that. The previous director to that spent the entire budget on grade 4 and 5 literature just to prove to his kids they couldn't read it. There was no continuity whatsoever, and I really hated the first few weeks of it. And then I got to know those people and the parents and the passion that the community had for it and loved it. I was only going to be there a semester. That was my plan. I had 1 hour left on my master's, and I was going to finish that hour and then leave. And I ended up being there 6 years.
So if you were the sixth band director in 5 years, that would lead me to believe that there wasn't a whole lot of community buy-in or school district buy-in from the administration.
You'd be right. In fact, there was no band budget.
Zero?
After all that. If I wanted to buy a piece of music, we had to fundraise, or I would go buy it.
It was literally a zero budget?
Literally zero budget.
So where do you even begin when that's the case? And we've heard other stories of this where a program has sort of fallen away and it isn't well funded or funded at all.
Right.
The community doesn't even know that, you know, there is a band program even. Where do you even start if you're basically starting from scratch?
I don't know that I know the right answer to that. I know that the correct path to be on would be to realize, first of all, that you can't do it all at once. And that you got to take small steps, making the kids better and better, get out in the community, get some public relations that are very positive, do things for people, and start getting people to notice. The second job I had talked about at Hoxie, we didn't go to a football game probably for 8 weeks. And we learned the national anthem and went and played at the ball game. They'd never played the national anthem before. And, you know, it is hard, and you got to play it right. And we did. And the stadium went nuts. And I really didn't understand what was going on until the principal told me later that nobody's ever played the Star Spangled Banner here before.
That alone must feel like a victory for the whole school.
It did. And the kids were so proud. I just, you know, there's that look that kids get when they've done something well that, you know, that even if you say congratulations, you're going to get in their moment. So you just step back and watch.
Right. So you just, in your talk here at Amarillo University, you touched on some of the common mistakes, you know, things that a new director should look out for. So what are some of the most common mistakes that a band director might make or should look out for as they're starting their career?
I think that, and I'm speaking as somebody who teaches music education, so I'm including myself in this. I don't know that at the university level we do enough prep on how the real world is going to be between getting the job and starting the job. I don't know that there's mistakes that people are making necessarily, but they just don't know to go find out who is in charge of what I need to do here, who do I ask for permission to do this. Where can I, you know, there's so many questions they just don't know to ask. And so they don't, and usually find out the hard way and have some conflict along the way. And we just have to prepare our students to be ready to not know everything and go figure it out.
It seems to me that a lot of those issues would apply just as well to a science teacher or a math teacher or a coach. These are just general issues that all educators need to know about at the beginning of their career.
They do. The big difference is that as for the football coaches and the band directors, that first Friday night, everybody in town's going to see what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. And the science teachers and the math teachers don't have to do that. Not that they're not doing great jobs. I'm not putting that down at all. My wife, who's a math teacher, would kill me. But you have just a limited amount of time to make people in your town think that things are going well. Right. And so you want to set your students up for a successful night, even if that means getting on the field and playing a song well and coming off and just feeling like we've just accomplished something.
Yeah. We hear here on the podcast from so many band directors that establishing that community support and just awareness, that is a crucial thing, going to a school board meeting. What are some of the things that a band director can do to sort of foster that and build that community support?
Well, you have to realize, first of all, that their job is not to worry about what the band's doing. Mm-hmm. They hired you to be the expert and the advocate. I had an incredible superintendent at Pocahontas, and one day he said, "I don't honestly know the answer to the question, what do you do after football season?" And he said, "Would you make me a list of what you do every month?" And I didn't realize how much we had done all the time until we took a physical calendar and wrote down, this is when we work on solo and ensemble. This is when we're passing out all region music. This is when we have a band-parent meeting night, every little thing. And there was always something going on because we don't have a season. But folks outside the band room who don't see us after football season don't know that. And some literally think that we just sit around and play.
And so how do you let the community and the administration know that there is life beyond the football season?
Well, it's a process of slowly educating them. Mm-hmm. You definitely don't want to go up and insult their intelligence by pretending they should know all these things. Inviting them to concerts, even if they don't come. Having them come. I was so pleased with the football coach that when I left the school that I was at Pocahontas, the football coach made it a point all the time to come by and just say something positive about how the kids were doing, and they would swell up and just be thankful somebody noticed. Because of that, the football players started doing stuff like that, and the relationship between all of the student groups became so much stronger in terms of support. And when that happened, their parents then started noticing what was going on, and it wasn't the band folks are over there, the athletes are over there, whatever group you want to have. And I didn't do that. I didn't figure out some magic way for that to happen. But looking back on it, it just simply is a matter of people learning what it is you're trying to accomplish, and that the main goal is for the kids to be successful. Once you lose sight of it's not about the kids, then you're not really doing your job.
Right. I would imagine every educator defines success differently, though.
Yes.
And so how did you define success in your first year, and then how did that definition of success evolve over time for you?
Man, well, the first few years, it was about winning trophies. Hmm. Success meant that we were going to go compete and that we needed to win. And, of course, we weren't doing that because I wasn't approaching everything else the right way. By the even the middle part of my career, the success suddenly became more about the moment and not the result of an afternoon. For example, we never, following a performance, concert, marching of any kind, we always met just the band students and the directors, and I would ask, how'd that go? And some would say it was great, it was the best show they'd had, some would say it wasn't very good, and we made it a point, all of us, to remind ourselves that when we find out how somebody else thought we did, this is really what happened. And this was successful if we say it was successful. It has nothing to do with awards or recognition. It's whether you accomplished, I don't want to say bonding with each other, but it's if you came together for the same goal and it worked, that is a huge amount of success because it's rare.
Yeah. When you were talking earlier today to the group, you mentioned the importance of musicality, which may sound like such a basic thing, mm-hmm. but the importance of not attempting a piece that is more than a band can handle or that doesn't complement the strengths of a
right.
band.
Right.
And it seems to me that maybe that sense of musical success can get lost a little bit in that pursuit of a trophy or a first place award.
I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but absolutely, because the not only is the end result a different animal than from each other, the way you got there is an entirely different path. What we were talking about in the session was that, you know, even playing a really silly pop tune, it presents a world of teaching opportunities, because regardless of what you play, you have to sound like a good band, and you have to balance, and you have to have good intonation, and the instruments have to be in tune, and the students have to listen. And if you just do notes and rhythms, then you're not really doing your job anyway.
I think you mentioned in there, if you're going to do a silly pop tune that people are going to know, you really got to nail it.
Yeah.
Right.
You do. Yeah, and you want them to come up to you at the end and say, that was my favorite piece.
Yeah. And it may have been the least complicated piece.
Exactly, exactly.
But it's the one that folks will remember.
Which is great PR.
Great PR. So what are some of, you went through a lot of different things in there, and I took a lot of notes here on my iPad about some of the things that band directors sort of need to know as, you know, as the year approaches. They've gotten the job in the spring, let's say.
And they're happy, and we're excited, and here we go.
Nothing can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong.
And then they show up, and they start to do the work. And it seems like there are lots of things that are common sense that I'm sure any recent college graduate will be able to do no problem at all. But
sure.
It seems like there are a lot of things that are very band director or music educator specific that nobody else in the school will understand.
Okay, yeah.
It'll just be their thing. Like you wrote, you know, some things apply to all, like become familiar with the layout of the school, of the campus.
Right. And people don't know to do that until, and it may not be the most important thing they do, but at some point they're going to need to know where they're going. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a problem situation and they have to find where they're going, it would be much better to have already known where their target was.
Another thing that stood out was know who handles the money and how the money can be spent.
Right.
A young band director may not think about the budgeting aspects of it, but that's a huge part of it, right?
Right, it is. And in the education courses, students are taught to budget, but it's a very abstract concept because they're not going to lose any money and they're not going to mess up in that class. But when you have to look at the amount of money you actually have and you have to determine what is it more important to buy a tuba that works or to get a new piece of flashy equipment, you sometimes have to make some judgment calls, and you can't really do that to your best if you've not planned for it. I mean, and you don't have to be right in the plan. You just have to have one. And if you vary from it, then you rewrite your direction, but you've got something guiding you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of folks, why would you think that as I start my first day of my teaching career, I need to think about the budget and which bookkeeper has, who takes care of the tax and the fuel. And it's not something I would think of on my own, but I learned it over the years.
Yeah. You mentioned before how you had mentors who helped you along the way.
Absolutely.
Early in your career. That must be absolutely crucial to somebody's success as a band director.
You know, what's interesting about that is that I think every organization of directors really pushes mentorship, and they mean it. But we don't all necessarily explain how to set up a relationship with a mentor. A lot of times we leave it up to the new person who's already overwhelmed and isn't going to bed until midnight, and then they realize the things they still haven't done for the next day. And so I think it's up to us with some experience to at least make contact saying, can I come visit and see how things are going? If they're pretty uptight about how things aren't just right yet, they'll tell you. But most of the time, they're really good to say, yeah, come on over, and then we can visit after the rehearsal or go get something to eat and just talk about concepts and what's going wrong with your day, and just actually making the connection that there is somebody that you can talk to is huge. And it doesn't seem like it would be such a big deal to establish, because anybody should be able to pick up the phone or an email and say, I need help. But you can't do that while you're drowning.
That's right.
If you're overwhelmed, you're trying to just figure out what to do next. And yes, you want help, but you don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about how, over the years, you have served as a mentor to others, or just given good practical advice. Do people seek you out? Do you return to Truman and Pocahontas occasionally to see how things are at your old schools? How do you contribute to that?
Well, at my previous jobs, I try to stay out of the way. Mm. It's a little hard for me at Pocahontas because my daughter is a sophomore on the drum line, and the director there is doing a great job. And just because she's doing something differently than the way I would do it, that shouldn't be an issue. And so I just try to stay away from that. But one of my very favorite things, especially in the job I have now, is that I get to travel all over and just play with kids. It's kind of like being a grandparent. You get them all riled up, and then you leave them for the director to deal with. But it's really surprising to me how often people you visit with for the first time realize how happy they are just to have somebody that speaks the language. Mm-hmm. You don't do them a good service if you lie to them and tell them things are great when they're not, but you can certainly word things in a way that will help them out. But they appreciate that, and they know they're being supported if somebody that is looking at what they're doing and respects what they're doing, mm-hmm, will come over and say, hey, you're doing that pretty well. You might try this, but this is going really well.
I can imagine that is especially important. Having a mentor is especially important to a director where they are sort of a they're a one in a one director school district. You were in several small, you know, smaller districts in Arkansas, and I know that many of our listeners are in situations where there may be one or two band directors for all of the ensembles. In a case like that, I would imagine having somebody you can turn to who's been there and done that is just really important.
I think that it is, and again, it goes back to everybody else at the school doesn't speak the language you've learned. Mm-hmm. You're the expert in music, and you might have a choir director or a general music teacher who gets it, but there's a huge difference in administrating a band program successfully, because if you're doing it right, it has to look easy, and it's by no way easy. Right. And older teachers look down on you because you're a brand new teacher and you're going to make mistakes. The band director always gets put in an inconvenient spot when there's a pep rally at the last minute and they have to have their kids. You don't want to be taking them out of class, but you have to, and so you're already in trouble with the English teachers for this, that, or the other. And nobody gets it because that's not what they have to do. They just know that their class, it's not necessarily more important, but we don't want to take kids out of their academics unless we have to. Right. And a lot of folks don't realize that that really is a thing you have to deal with, and that we would take them out more often if we could.
Right.
But we don't.
Got to strike that balance.
That's right.
Speaking of balance, we hear time and again from educators about how when they first start out in their career, they have no sense of the work-life balance. It's all work. It's a lot of work.
And I don't think they realize that until they actually find some balance. It's not something they notice until there's good things, too.
Because you're up to your neck in it.
Right.
Because you don't know what you don't. You don't know what you haven't seen yet.
That's right. And you want to do such a good job that you want to make sure all your details are covered and that you're ready for the next day. And granted, that for some people, that means you stay up all night. And eventually, you get to where you have a feeling for what to do.
Yeah.
And you start thinking, you know, I've got a Saturday off. What should I do? I could watch TV or I could go bowling.
Did you find that was the case early in your career? There was no balance?
I didn't notice that there was a balance issue, actually, until, I don't know, I'd been in 20 years or so already and met my wife and had a family. And, of course, immediately everything changes. And I believed every single person who told me that this is going to happen and this is going to happen and you're going to feel like this and you're going to feel like this. And I believed every one of them, but I didn't get it until I experienced it myself. And then it wasn't so important that all of the music be filed by today. Mm-hmm. It can sit on a shelf for just a little while and let me go home.
That's a very interesting, that's a fine line, I would think, between believing what they're telling you and actually getting it.
Right.
That's
of course, I didn't know I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Until I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But I was a workaholic and just thought everything had to be done right now, and it just doesn't. Now, if you're establishing something, it's going to take a whole lot more work than letting it coast along if you've got it working. But once you get it to where you don't have to worry about it all the time, you've made a big jump in your life, and you have a life.
So, Brady, in your talk here with these college students and new band directors, you had a lot of great points throughout the talk, but you had some final thoughts that I thought were particularly interesting, and we'll just reel them off here.
All right.
Create the culture you want to live in. You can't please everyone, and you shouldn't even try. Build relationships at the school and in the community. Sometimes you have to go with what's least unfair.
That's a hard one.
Justify your decisions. Cultivate respect and enjoyment, but not friendship when dealing with students. And you may be the only positive part of a student's day. Those can also be seen as important parts of growing a program. You know, establishing a reputation where, you know, it's a situation that a student wants to be a part of.
Yes.
And
yes, that it's something they want to belong to.
Right. Something they want to belong to, because we don't know just by seeing anybody on the street. We don't know what's happening, you know, in their life. And sometimes band can be the best part.
Yeah, I love to tell when I'm recruiting beginners that everybody plays all the time. We don't have a bench, and it doesn't matter what you nerd out to. There's a place for you in our family.
That's Brady Massey, director of bands at Williams Baptist University in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, talking with us here on After Hours, Conversations for Music Educators, which is presented by Amro Music in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm Joel Hurd, and I help produce the podcast along with Nick Averwater and Emily McGee. You can hear more conversations at amromusic.com/afterhours.